Rabbana.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, The Key, here at IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Shiraz Agha. Thank you for joining us here today. Today we're going to be examining a question regarding the relationship between God's essence and His attributes. This is a very tricky problem. Unfortunately, it's a question that naturally arises in the minds of anybody who is somewhat associated with religion and has an acquaintance with religious texts. Because in any religious text, regardless of whether it's the Quran or the Bible or even a text of some Far Eastern religion, these religious texts ascribe attributes to God. They describe Him as having power, they describe Him as having life, as having knowledge. The natural question that arises in the mind is, what is the nature of the relationship between these attributes and the essence of God? Are they external to His essence? Are they internal to Him? If they're internal to Him, are they parts of His essence? Or are they one with His essence, identical to it? What's going on here, and how can we explain this without it leading to some kind of objection? One of the views which has been mentioned here is the idea that these attributes are conceptually distinct from one another, but they're identical with God's essence in the external world. It's possible for somebody to ask, how is this possible? Would this not lead to a contradiction? This would mean that one thing would be simultaneously one and multiple and numerous at the same time. Isn't this impossible? Meaning, when we say that something is one, it means that it's not numerous, it's not multiple. When we say that something is numerous and multiple, it means that it's not one. So you're saying, if we say that something is one and at the same time it's numerous, it means that it's one and it's not one. It's multiple and it's not multiple. It's numerous and it's not numerous. This is a contradiction. The answer to this problem is really quite simple. And that's this. In order for two propositions, two statements, two sentences to contradict one another, it's necessary for a certain number of clauses and conditions within the two statements to be the same. Let me give you an example that can help clarify this. Like, for example, if I said Zayd doesn't have a beard, and Zayd has a beard, these two statements don't contradict one another if the clauses within them are different. For example, if I say Zayd, when he is a child, doesn't have a beard, but Zayd, when he became a man, he has a beard. Well, these statements don't contradict one another. Why? Because the clauses present within them are distinct from one another. In order for them to contradict one another, it's necessary for the clauses to be the same. Yeah, if I say that Zayd, when he is a boy, he doesn't have a beard, and Zayd, when he's a boy, has a beard, well, these contradict one another. Or if I say that Zayd, in America, he's an American citizen, but when he moved to Iran, he became an Iranian citizen. Well, these statements don't contradict one another, because two of the clauses mentioned within these two statements are distinct. In a similar fashion, when we say that the attributes and the essence of God are distinct from one another and are multiple, we refer to this in the mind. This multiplicity occurs in the mind, in mental analysis. However, when we say that these attributes and the essence of God are identical and are united and are one, it refers to the external world. These concepts are one and identical with one another and united with each other in the external world, not in mental analysis and in the mind. So these two statements don't contradict one another. There's no contradiction involved. Until next time, thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were examining the nature of God's attributes and its relation and their relation with God's essence. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy, on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of first grade. My dad, who taught me the art of
Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, November 8, 2020. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is a Sunday program where reviews are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our programs. Or if you have any messages for our listeners around the world, then record your voice and send it to us and get your voice heard. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Welcome back, dear listeners. As usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports, as you may know, are very useful and important to us, especially to our technicians and engineers. These reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners throughout the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving a QSL card from us. But unfortunately, these days, with the outbreak of coronavirus pandemic around the world, please don't expect a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio is temporarily halted due to the coronavirus pandemic. And here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Stefan Karna from Sweden, Victor Varzin from Russia, and Shanti Kumari Gandvir from India. Well, Stefan, Victor, and Shanti, we want you to know that how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us letters and emails from around the world, which I mention some of their names here, and later during our program, I will read their emails and letters, including Muhammad Abdullah from Bangladesh, Ralph W. Perry from Australia. Also, we have an email from Anwar Iqbal Mukhtar from India. And also, Muhammad Aslam from India has sent us an email. And last but not the least, Alessandro Baroni from Italy. Well, dear listeners, stay with us until the end of the program. I will be back with all these kind messages just in seconds. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and here we have a lot of emails and letters from around the world. First of all, we start our today's program with an email from Muhammad Abdullah from Bangladesh. Muhammad Abdullah says, "Take my cordial greetings and love. I am a Bangladeshi radio listener. For the past 38 years, I've listened to international radio broadcasts of different radio stations in the world. I am very interested to receive and monitor your station, which is well received by your listeners in East Asia. Please send your recent frequency schedule and also some of some other information about your station and country. First of all, greetings to you from Iran and IRB English Radio, Muhammad Abdullah from Bangladesh. It seems that you've already joined IRB English Radio. It's an honor to have you with us as a listener, Muhammad Abdullah from Bangladesh. Thank you very much for writing this email to us. And also regarding your request about sending any information about IRB English Radio, you can refer to our website at parstoday.com/en and Muhammad Abdullah. There you can find our program's schedule, the frequencies, as well as the archive of our broadcast and the latest and most updated news from around the world. Anyway, Muhammad Abdullah, thank you very much for writing this email to us. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Also, from Australia, we have an email from Ralph W. Perry. Ralph W. Perry from Australia says, "Dear friends at the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran, today it was my great pleasure to listen to an entertaining and informative program of news from your radio station. I have diligently pursued shortwave radio monitoring for a long time and have provided reports to hundreds of radio stations through the years. It would be a huge honor to receive a confirmation letter for my report on the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. If you have a QSL confirmation card for listeners, this would also be a wonderful memento to add to my collection. Please accept my wishes for your station future success. Sincerely yours." Well, Ralph Perry from Australia, first of all, I do express my gratitude for writing this email to IRB English Radio. And thank God you enjoy the program you've recently caught on IRB English Radio. IRB English Radio warmly welcomes your views about our broadcast, and my colleagues' endeavor is and has always been providing our dear listeners from around the world with the most updated and most accurate information. Anyway, I have to inform you that before the outbreak of coronavirus, our radio, IRB English Radio, used to send our dear listeners QSL cards as well as IRB English Radio souvenirs, including postcards or other promotional items. This trend has been temporarily halted, and that is due to the outbreak of coronavirus. So we ask our dear listeners to stay patient until we can get back on track. Again, Ralph W. Perry from Australia, thank you. Thank you for writing to IRB English Radio. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Please, in your upcoming emails and letters, tell us your views about our radio. Write to us soon, Ralph W. Perry from Australia. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Welcome back. Here I have an email from India, and this email is from Anwar Iqbal Mukta from India. Anwar Iqbal says, "We would like to say that we, the club members of World Radio Listeners Club, want to listen to your radio program regularly. We also want to know about your country. Please send us your frequency and program schedule with timetable. Also send us your books, magazines, poster, folder, leaf, let, sticker, and other gift items if possible. Thank you on behalf of the club members." First of all, greetings to you, Anwar Iqbal Mukta from India. Greetings from Iran and IRB English Radio. And Anwar, Iqbal, Mukta, lots of thanks for writing this email to IRIB English Radio. We're so glad that you and your club members have recently received the signals of our radio, the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. And regarding your request about sending program schedule and the frequency, Anwar, Iqbal, Mukta, by referring to our website at parstoday.com/en, you can find our program schedule and our frequency. And also, you requested promotional items of IRIB English Radio, including poster, folder, sticker, magazines, as I have mentioned several times during our previous programs. Sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio is temporarily halted due to the coronavirus pandemic. So please be patient until we can get back on track and send you the promotional items of IRIB English Radio. Anyway, Anwar, Iqbal, Mukta from India, thank you very much for writing this email to us. Send our greetings to your club members, and also don't forget to tell us your views about our programs in your upcoming emails and letters. Thank you again. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Also from India, again, we have an email from Muhammad Aslam. Muhammad Aslam from India says, thank you for your radio programs and also your informative website. I appreciate your programs related to Islam and a useful society, and I hope the number of such programs will increase in future. I have some requests from you, and that, please send me your program schedule and also few promotional items if possible. Lots of thanks for writing this really inspiring message to us, Muhammad Aslam from India. And also thank you for your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. We're so happy that you enjoyed our programs as well as our website. Wish you the best, Muhammad Aslam from India. Again, thank you for writing this email to us. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Stay safe and healthy, Muhammad Aslam from India. Dear listeners, what about a short break? Dear listeners, you just heard a piece of very beautiful traditional Iranian music. And here, we have an email from Alessandro Baroni from Italy. Alessandro says, I speak personally for myself, but I think this could be the opinion of all radio amateurs and fans of radio listening. A paper QSL card would be much more welcome rather than a digital QSL. I have a shoebox full of collected QSL cards sent to me from all over the world. An email would not have the same charm. This desire of yours to know the preferences of radio listeners is admirable. Thank you for your attention. Alessandro Baroni, first of all, thank you very much for your care and support for IRIB English Radio. As we have mentioned several times, in our programs, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio, including paper QSL cards or other promotional items, is temporarily halted due to the coronavirus pandemic. And as you said, yes, I do agree with you. A paper QSL card has a great charm, and the digital QSL does not have that charm. Yes, and it's interesting you mentioned that you have a shoebox full of collected QSL cards from different radio stations all over the world, and this is interesting. It's a good job. You know, these days, due to the outbreak of coronavirus, this is not possible, But IRIB English Radio in the past used to send its dear listeners from around the world paper QSL cards or souvenirs, but this trend is halted, unfortunately. But after the disease is controlled around the world, we can get back on track and send our dear listeners our souvenirs, also our QSL cards. Thank you again, Alessandro Baroni from Italy. It was kind of you sending us email. In your upcoming emails, tell us your views about our programs in IRIB English Radio. We're looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Stay safe and healthy. Wish you the best, Alessandro Baroni from Italy. And now, dear listeners, here we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Many thanks for being with Listeners Special, and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
This is this for is, a better life. For a better life.
فرمود بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, "I have been sent to complete noble manners."
In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another program of For a Better Life. Here on IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Sayyid Wahid Alawi. And we were discussing anger and its different dimensions. And we reached the part where we want to explain how we should show our anger. And there are three different ways, dear brothers and sisters. Number one, with the tongue. Number two, the hand. And number three, the heart. Sometimes one can be excessive in showing anger at a time when one should be angry. This is not good. You should have a limit when you want to show your anger and when it is proper to show your anger. One should become angry at oppression, for example. One should be angry for sin with his tongue, with his hand, and with his heart. But should make sure to act in correct fashion. What is the correct fashion? How angry should one become? Is there a limit? The different stages of anger, dear brothers and sisters, is using one's tongue, hand, or heart. And that would become clear when we give some examples. For example, exceeding the limits using the tongue, it is natural that a believer who becomes very, very angry when someone says something bad to him or to her. In this case, the best thing to do in the view of Islam is to control one's anger and remain silent. Don't say anything. Be aware of the scene. Answer bad with good. It would be very, very good if one could not only refrain and be silent when someone is using foul language, but also if we are able to reply a bad language with a good language. Answer bad with good. But give the person, instead of saying using bad language or foul language, we give the person advice in a nice tone, using good manners. For example, if one would tell him, "You are a respected person whom people look up to. It would be a shame if your respect would be lowered in their eyes." If someone is cursing you, for example, you keep your silent, or if you want to reply, you reply with good. If a Muslim is able to answer bad language with good language, dear brothers and sisters, he should answer bad actions with good actions also. For example, you can give someone who needs something what he needs, even if that same person did not help you out when you were in need. And that is a very elevated status in spirituality and moral character, if you can do such an act, which is very, very hard.
We were given so many prizes. We changed the desert into oases. We built buildings of different lengths and sizes. And we felt so very satisfied. We bought and bought and couldn't stop buying. We gave charity to the poor cause we couldn't stand the crying. We thought we paid our dues, but in fact, to ourselves we're just lying. Oh, I'm walking with my head lowered in shame for my place. I'm walking with my head lowered for my race. Yes, it's easy to blame everything on the West, when in fact our focus should be on ourselves. I'm walking with my head lowered in shame for my place. I'm walking with my head lowered for my race. Yes, it's easy to blame everything on the West, when in fact our focus should be on ourselves. Is it satisfied? Is Allah satisfied? Is Allah satisfied?
If one is able to answer bad with good, his enemies would lose their hatred for him and would become his friends. There is a transformation here, because we are, after all, human beings. We are made of emotions. So when you say something good to that person, if you give a gift to that person, surely that will affect the person. And maybe he will be transformed from being an enemy to a good person. Do recall Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salam, the seventh Imam, when someone was cursing him on a daily basis, and the companions of his wanted to beat him up. They wanted to teach him a lesson. And Imam stopped them. The Imam said, "I would talk to them. I would talk to him." And when he went there, he talked to him. He gave him a sum of money. And he showed him kindness. He took him out from poverty. And after that day, you saw that person X in the mosque or with the Imam during his whole lifetime. That person changed dramatically from being an enemy of the Ahlul Bayt to being one of the most devout friends of Ahlul Bayt. Of course, not everyone is able to do this. It's a very high, elevated status in spirituality. Only the people who have a high level of faith are able to do this and benefit from their good habits. But in a vertical line, we can at least try. There is different degrees, right? In a vertical line, when it comes to goodness, there are different degrees of strength. We can at least be in that vertical line and try to be in that vertical line, even if it's in a weaker position. And another thing is that the other person who has used foul language will be ashamed when you act well with them. At first, it is difficult to answer with good words someone who swore at you, but later it becomes pleasurable to do so. And it needs training. It needs exercise. As you exercise and you do physical training, when you go to bodybuilding or to fitness, you start with 10 kg. You don't start with 100 kg. But eventually you reach the 100 kg. And it's the same here. It's spiritual practice. When someone curses you, when someone is bad towards you, when someone is showing evil towards you, is doing wrong against you, what do? You try to exercise. Try not to answer back with bad and foul language. You exercise, and after a while, you feel this feeling of anger exploding within you. If you can control that anger and keep your silent, and later on even reach the status where you can answer back with a good language, then that will eventually become pleasurable for you. Someone who swore at you, someone who used bad language against you, and you answer back with good language, that will be pleasurable. Sometimes men, in order to feel better, answer one swear with 10 different swears. Not only does this make that person feel worse, he gets even angrier, and it results in making more enemies. It results into physical violence. A person who answers bad language with good language, who controls his anger, who acts like an adult, is the one who will become calm and feel better, while the person who used bad language, who used bad energy, who used negative energy, will be the one who has this negativity within him or her and will feel ashamed in front of people and others when he has used foul language. He or she will be the ashamed and regretful one. Till next time, may peace and blessings be upon all of you. And we should try to exercise and practice these techniques, inshallah, in our daily life. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Your mercy, your love is all I need. 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 Oh, 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 oh.
Your love is all I need. To be all I need. And I know that you see how much you you mean to me, 'cause your love is all I need, to be all I can be, and I know that you see how much you mean to me,
your love is all I need.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Answering the doubts and questions and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
الله هو إذا الرحمن
الله
هو إذا المنان
لا إله إلا
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, I send my peace and greetings upon all of you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another program of questions and answers on the Islamic belief, where we tackle the difficult questions from you, dear listeners. And in the studio, we have our dear Sayyid and scholar and a PhD student in economics, Sayyid Naqawi. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to our studio.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
Thank you for coming over. We were discussing about political Islam. And we talked about Islamic radicalization, and that is very, very relative. It depends on the person's mentality instead of mind, the culture on the background he or she comes from. And we said that we cannot have a direct or clear principle, we cannot have a clear criteria about what Islamic radicalization is, what Muslim radicals are. It's very, very relative. And we reached the part where one of our dear listeners has asked us, what's the difference between those two? How do you differentiate between political Islam and the concept that that you talked about in our previous program, that political Islam means to implement Islamic regulations in the society, that Islam basically should rule and be the constitution of a country, and Islamic radicalization? What is the difference between those two, political Islam and Islamic radicalization?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, it's one of the good questions, we can say, that has been asked from our listeners. The basic difference, if we want to talk about, when we talk about the political Islam on its own, in its true meaning, we are talking about the governorship of, or the rulership of justice. We are talking about the justice. Because when we talk about the political Islam in its true meaning, Islam emphasizes on justice.
Right.
And from the amongst the principles of religion, like every Muslim, they believe in three principles basically. In the Shia Islam, we have five principles. So we believe Tawheed, monotheism. On monotheism, that Allah is one. Allah is Adil. He is just. So we believe in justice.
One of the attributes of Allah.
Attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we believe that Allah is just, and even in the chapter Nur, verse number 55, Allah is talking about the last savior, Imam Mahdi. He refers to this, in this verse, he's talking that we will turn the world into a just governance, the way it has been involved into injustice. The way we can see, like, the world is filled with the injustice, it will be turned back to the justice when the last savior will come. So Allah will give his, will bring, obviously, Imam Mahdi, and he will have this governance. So when we are talking about the political Islam in its true meaning, we are talking about the justice. Whereas in radical Islam, we see there is no justice. Because the party or the terrorist, because obviously...
So the criteria is justice here.
The criteria is justice.
Right.
In every part of the Islam, Islam talks about justice. And everything, if it's an ethical, cultural, spiritual, maybe you can say economical, maybe you can say like social, in every single aspect, Islam emphasizes on justice. If it is not according to the justice, then it is not according to Islam.
Right.
Even prohibition of, for example, alcohol or adultery or other things, the things that are haram or forbidden Islam, it's according to the rule of justice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has. and the things that are allowed, it's according to justice. So when we are talking about the political Islam in its true meaning, we are talking about the justice.
So whereas in radical Islam, penetrates justice penetrates all of the different dimensions of Islam. Is that what
you're saying? Yes, it covers all the dimensions. In every single dimension, you need to have justice. Even when you're dealing with your wife,
or is it with the society?
Even when you're dealing with your wife or kids, it right. should be with the justice. Because if you have two kids,
it should be fair.
It should be fair, right. fair and just. Because when you're loving one child, you should love the other, or at least show your love. Mm. Up to same right. amount, so it should seem fairly.
Right.
So Islam is basically focusing on this point, whereas in radical Islam, the definition that we see in this world that whenever some terrorist activities happens, the media starts to portray that this is the Muslim terrorist, for example, or the radical. Islamic, the followers of radical Islam did this and that. In this sense, obviously, there is no justice there. They're thinking...
They kill innocent people.
They're killing innocent people. Islam does not allow. Even if there is a kafir, for example, a disbeliever in a Muslim country, it is the duty of the leader of that country, Muslim country, to protect the disbeliever. Right. So... In this sense, obviously, we can clear difference between these two things. It's a clear difference. And we can see...
The protected people, Ahl al-Dhimma.
Yeah. And we can see this, that when Islam, in its true sense, is protecting everyone, it's looking at all the rights of the people, we cannot see this into the radicalism. And I do not like to... say radical Islam. I don't want to use this word because Islam is free of radicalism. Right. In this sense, Islam.
What word
is,
would you like to use?
Well, just use the radicalism as we can use for anyone in any country. Maybe there can be a Christian who is radical.
Right.
We can see the racism, for example, right. in different countries. That is also radicalism.
Right.
But we don't say like there are Christian racism. Mm. Or it's we can see, like we have seen, like the black and white issue
in the states
right.
or and, in South America
we have seen this, but obviously that is also referred as a radicalism. So we need to use the same word for that, because today the enemies of Islam, they want to spread the Islamophobia amongst the people. They are using this word Islam intentionally with the radicalism, so that people will have a fear of Islam,
especially in France today.
Yes.
Right.
Especially in France.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Insha'Allah, you'll find your way.
Thank you very much, Sayyid. Jazakallah khairan. Our next question is, the impact of Islam or religious beliefs on ethical behavior, on our ethical behavior in the workplace. The questioner is asking about the workplace, but we could extend that and say everywhere in the society. How does Islam or our religious belief impact our ethical behavior in the society, specifically in our workplace or in the university?
According to...
Or in a bus, wherever.
According to the definitions that we have or the things that has been said, I just give some examples, like what does ethical behavior covers usually, generally? For example, the question was regarding the workplace. So we can talk about the workplace first, and then we can apply the same things on right. the different parts of the life. On the workplace, when we talk about the ethical behavior, the ethical behavior covers honesty, it covers integrity, it covers fairness, it covers being accountable for what you're doing, uphold trust. It also covers like respect of the colleagues and variety of other positive targets. It covers all those things.
Professional behavior.
Professional behavior when you're working at a place. So this ethical behavior covers this. On top of that, when we talk about the unethical behavior on the workplace, it covers lies, taking credit for others' hard working or the works. Verbal harassment is unethical in the workplace. And
verbal abuse.
Violence, yes. Verbal abuse or harassment, violence. Non-office related works into office. This is very important. We can see people doing this many times. And extended breaks or maybe theft and other unethical things that are happening on the workplace. When we talk about the Islam and
bribery,
when we talk about the Islamic perspective, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set some rules and regulations. They're halal and haram. They're the allowed things and the forbiddens. Allah has given us the command to have the halal rizq, sustenance. The halal sustenance. And he forbids the haram, the forbidden sustenance, the haram rizq. For example, I just mentioned one of the examples, like at the workplace, for example, if someone is doing his own personal things or he's paying more attention towards his personal affairs.
Instead of working,
he's wasting the time in his personal...
And being this at the time service that of he has, the customer.
The service of customer, maybe. Right. This time that he spent for his personal affairs, which he was not allowed to do from the, obviously, office or the managers, this time becomes haram for him. It's forbidden because you have wasted the time of the company for which they are paying you. So this pay that you have received in exchange of the time that you spend for your own reasons, this is not related to you. It should go back to the company.
All right. But
Islam emphasizes on halal and haram.
All right.
The ethical behavior that we are talking at the workplace, obviously Islam says you have a duty to do. There is a job for you. I need to do my job. The results are on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or for the rest of the colleague.
All right. Jazakallah khairan. Thank you very much, Sayyid. That's all for today's program. Please continue to give us your questions and we'll try to answer all of them, inshallah ta'ala. Till next time, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon all of you.
Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Inna fil jannati nahran laban. Ali wa Hussein wa Hassan. لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا وبهذا الحب لا نخشى المحن
does have ties to Muslim extremists. I don't know.
Sudan and Israel have agreed to normalize ties. Sudan followed suit after Bahrain and the United Arab Emirates normalized ties with Israel earlier this year. The United States brokered the agreement between the two parties, making Sudan the fifth Arab country to establish relations with Israel. The deal was sealed apparently in a phone call with US President Donald Trump, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and Sudanese Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok and Transitional Council head Abdel Fattah al-Burhan. The leaders agreed to the normalization of relations between Sudan and Israel and to end the state of belligerence between their nations, said the joint statement by the United States, Israel, and Sudan. An official signing ceremony is expected to be held at the White House in the weeks to come. Israel and Sudan agreed to normalize relations in conjunction with U.S. President Donald Trump signing a decree removing Sudan from the list of countries sponsoring terrorism. Sudan has for years had financial troubles, and after former President Omar al-Bashir was ousted in a popular uprising against him, the transitional government thought the U.S. would finally take the country off its blacklist. But it has been reported that Sudan was under pressure by the U.S., the United Arab Emirates, and Saudi Arabia to normalize with Israel if it wants to alleviate its financial burdens. Finally, Sudan normalizes ties with Israel only 2 weeks after the U.S. took it off its blacklist. But seeing that this is what the country had to do to achieve what seems like financial freedom, many people in Sudan are not happy about this. Sudanese protesters have taken to the streets to condemn the current government's decision to forge diplomatic relations with Israel. Sudan's National Ummah Party, NUP, the largest political party there, rejected any normalization with Israel. The NUP's leader, Sadiq al-Mahdi, said the transitional government, which is to remain in office until elections in 2022, has no mandate to make decisions on such controversial issues. The NUP's leader, Sadiq al-Mahdi, withdrew from a government-organized religious conference in protest against the normalization announcement. He said, "This statement contradicts the deal, the Sudanese national law, and contributes to the elimination of the peace project in the Middle East and to preparing for the ignition of a new war." Sadiq al-Mahdi carries huge political and popular weight as he was the Prime Minister of Sudan three times and also known as the country's last elected premier. Other Sudanese political parties also lined up to declare their rejection of the normalization agreement, stressing they are going to form a front to oppose the move. The Sudanese Ba'ath Party, the Sudanese Communist Party, National Consensus Forces NCF, a coalition of political parties, the National Democratic Alliance NDA, the Forces of Freedom and Change FFC Alliance, the Popular Congress Party, as well as Sudan Change Now political movement, stated that they are fiercely against any relationship between Khartoum and Tel Aviv. Sudan has been tense for a while after a popular uprising last year led the military to overthrow the longtime autocrat Omar al-Bashir. The transitional government has promised elections as soon as 2022. Al-Mahdi, who heads the National Ummah Party, was overthrown in a 1989 coup that brought al-Bashir to power. His party is allied with the movement that led to protests against al-Bashir. The normalization announcement by Sudan came as a surprise to many as the African country has long been a supporter of the Palestinians and their cause. In 1948, a detachment of troops from Sudan were among the Arab armies Israel fought against when it was incepted onto Palestinian lands. When Sudan gained independence in 1956 from British rule, Israel secretly aided separatist rebels in southern Sudan. Sudan sent a contingent of troops to aid Egyptian forces in the 1967 war with Israel. Sudan hosted a landmark Arab League conference on August 29, 1967. That day, eight Arab countries approved the Khartoum Resolution, known as the Three No's Resolution: no peace with Israel, no recognition of Israel, and no negotiations with Israel. In the 1970s, Israeli pilots operating from Uganda and Kenya flew arms to the rebel forces of southern Sudan once again. Fast forward to the years leading up to the 2011 independence of South Sudan from Sudan, and even decades before that, Israeli military officials were meeting with rebels in Israel. In secret, visits to Israel, southern Sudanese rebels received financial and military aid from Tel Aviv. It is no wonder that Israel was one of the first to recognize South Sudan after its independence. Israel recognized South Sudan on July 10, 2011, a day after South Sudan became an independent state. On July 15th of that year, South Sudan announced that it intended to have full diplomatic relations with Israel. On July 28, 2011, Israel announced that it had established full diplomatic ties with South Sudan. Sudan's agreement to normalize with Israel seems to be built upon political pressure that has divided the country and created political tension and turmoil for decades. It is also clear that U.S. President Donald Trump is the entity enforcing the controversial normalization deals. This leaves one wondering, will normalization with Israel hold after the U.S. election on November 3? Or is Trump sowing the seeds of further destabilization in a country and region that has witnessed far too much of it?
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars from IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu Alaikum to you, dear listeners, dear brothers and sisters all around the world. I am Atan, the host of the program Viewpoints, and this series of the program Viewpoints is concerned with the thoughts and works and opinions of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. With me in the studio are two guest speakers, two experts from the Islamic House of Qom, Brother Ali Alevian and Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi. Brother Ali, assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to
the show. Wa alaikum assalam, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, thanks for inviting.
So we were enumerating some of the most outstanding features of Islam and Nab-e Muhammadi, mainly and roughly translated into English as the pure Muhammadan Islam. What are the ways in order to reach to the original Islam based on the thoughts of leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei? In our previous discussion, we discussed about Islam based on the Holy Quran and the Sunnah, and we enumerated and we elaborated on that. In this episode, inshallah, we want to talk about Islam, the religion of jihad and martyrdom and shahada. Also, we had jihad nafs, you know, combating with yourself and self-centricism inside. This is another beautiful concept which takes us back to the original Islam. But it's still, Sayyid Mohsen, the line between martyrdom and, we can say, being killed as a jihadist, I mean, in the negative sense of the word, is not clear to me. Let's clarify it. Is it only just on the def-